recording.
Hi, good morning, Chen. Good morning to everyone on the platform. Chen, we could arrange. Shall I do the roll call, Chen?
Please.
Ms. Muadze?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Morning.
Mr. Mulder?
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. Thing?
Good morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues.
Morning.
Mr. Malamakia?
Good morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Mr. McPherson?
Good morning to all of you.
Morning.
Mr. Mbuyani?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, those are the members currently on the platform. I would assume others will be joining us. And I have an apology, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Can we have the agenda, please? Right, Leo, there's the agenda. Can we check, Committee Secretary, if there are any apologies?
Chairman, we have an apology for Mr. Principal Namasha, Chair.
Thank you very much. Noted. Can we have a move and a seconder for the adoption of the agenda's table, which will consist of briefing by the NCC, consideration of minutes, committee business. Can we have a move and a seconder? Honorable Thring, I see you are unmuted.
I will move to accept the minutes, Chair, the agenda.
The agenda, yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Maatse.
Thank you very much, Chair. I second the move of the agenda.
Thank you very much. So our agenda is duly adopted. The purpose of this meeting is to engage with the National Consumer Commission on its financial and non-financial performance for 2021-2022 financial year. This would include a briefing on its financial and non-financial performance for the first quarter of the 2022-23 financial year. This is so that the committee can assess the performance of the National Department against its resource allocation in compliance with Section 5 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act No. 9 of 2009. Can I check who's here from the department to introduce the entity?
Okay, Ms. Matumela is here, Chair.
Okay, Acting COO Matumela. Ms. Matumela, you are muted. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. And Chair, as always,
I think you must switch off your camera because you are not in screen. We just see your beautiful picture. Thank you.
Apologies for that, Chair. Good morning to the Honorable Chairperson and good morning to the Honorable Members. Chair, as always, we appreciate the invites and the interaction with the Portfolio Committee. And from the NCC side, Chair, we have the Acting Commissioner, Mr. Zuma Muza, who will be leading with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mabuza. If you are here with your team, you can introduce them and then proceed with your presentation.
Morning, Chairperson, and morning to the Honorable Members. This is the Acting Commissioner Tezi Mabuza from the National Consumer Commission. In my team today, I'm supported by the Company Secretary, which is Mr. Joseph Silolo, and then also by the Chief Financial Officer, which is Ms. Mampine Mushidi. So, Chair, I will just share my screen, and I don't know if I can go directly to the presentation.
Thank you. You have hosting rights, so you can go directly to the presentation. Thank you so much.
Chair, I don't know, is it shared?
No, we can't see anything yet.
Oh, okay. Let me just share again. I don't know what is happening. That's the screen. Wow. I am
Mr. Mushidi also has hosting rights.
Hosting right. I am trying to share from my side. I am struggling sharing, Chair. I don't know what is happening today with my screen.
Committee Secretary, can we see what we can do to assist that we can start our deliberations?
Chair, I think alternatively, if Ms. Mushidi can share, or otherwise I'll ask Margot to share the presentation, Chair.
Ms. Mushidi, are you able to share the presentation?
Good morning. Yes, let me try.
I'll appreciate that.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
Just going to slide mode.
Thank you.
Yes, if you can put it on the presentation mode, I'll appreciate that.
Here we go.
Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Mushidi. And unfortunately, I'll keep on going next. As we're saying, Chairperson and Honourable Members, we are presenting, as requested by the committee, the annual report and the first quarter report of the NCC. We can go to the next screen, then. Ms. Mushidi, work with me, thank you. And as said earlier on, the delegation is myself, and then we have Ms. Mushidi as the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Joseph Senolo. And the next screen. Our outline in terms of the annual report, we are going to be covering the regulatory context, the strategic objectives, the key highlights, achievements against the plan targets, the joint indicators, the audited financial statement, auditor's report, and the key challenges. And then for the first quarter, we'll be covering the performance information, the interim financials, and our audit, the clean audit plan. We can go then to the start of the presentation, then. Thank you. The next slide. This is the regulatory context wherein, as the NCC, we find ourselves operating under. As we say that this is the act that established us, Section 85 of the CPA. And then our role, or the role of the CPA, is to promote fair, accessible and sustainable marketplaces for consumer product. And then all that we also do is we establish the norms and standards for consumer protection in the country. The CPA, what it does is just to provide for improved standards of consumer information, wherein we make sure that that information helps to ensure that unfair business marketing and practices are actually curtailed, and then we promote responsible consumer behavior, and we're ensuring that there is consistent enforcement framework that relates to our consumer transaction and agreements. Hence, then we're saying that we set the norms and standards. And also what we also want to bring forth is that we have concurrent jurisdictions with consumer protection matters with the provincial consumer affairs offices in all the 9 provinces that we meet. Actually, we make sure that we meet them during our consumer protection forum. And what we also do as our mandate as well is to make sure that we recommend to the minister the accreditation of alternative dispute resolution agents, which is our ombud schemes, in terms of Section 82 of the Consumer Protection Act. And after they've been accredited, thereafter we monitor their efficiency and efficacy. Thank you. We can go to the next slide. The vision and the mission of the NCC, this one I'm going to move very quick on that, is that we want to be, we are a national consumer protection regulatory authority, and as we said, that we intend to ensure that there is effective consumer protection. And our mission actually is to tackle unfair business practices, wherein we want to promote compliance and ensure redress to consumers. And we do that through advocacy, prosecution, investigations, and coordinating efforts with other institutions while we continuously educate ourselves, as we know that we are in a very mobile space in terms of transactions, but then we also conduct research to ensure that we remain relevant while we try as most of the time to be as fair as possible and take ourselves outside the resolution of complaints in terms of meddling, but then we ensure that we investigate, and when we refer those matters, then it's in a fair manner. Our impact statement is to ensure that there is accessible, fair, safe, and sustainable markets for consumer goods and services. The next slide, ma'am. The next one. So this will be our strategic objectives that we are dealing with. As we said, that the first outcome that we wanted, that we were dealing with, is to promote accessible consumer protection. In this outcome, what we do, we ensure that consumer protect, we ensure consumer protection and consumer safety through the facilitation of an environment that enables the resolution of complaints between consumers and suppliers. And we try to do that in an expedient, cost-effective, fair, and transparent manner. But then the main functions within this outcome was to regularly monitor accredited ombuds, as we said, which is in terms of Section 82. We conduct business compliance initiatives wherein we, especially these businesses that we are talking about, are your small suppliers that will be within below the 2 million threshold as stipulated by the minister. And then we conduct consumer awareness initiatives just to make sure that consumers are aware of their rights so that they can be able to protect themselves and take active steps if their rights have been infringed. And then we also issue explanatory notes and non-binding opinions on the interpretation of the CPA, just to make sure that when there are cases that are out there that have been judgment, that there were judgments, then that the companies and consumers know about them. And then that just so that we ensure that there is transparency, people understand the provisions within the CPA. So that was outcome one. We can go to the next page. This is outcome two and three, but outcome two, the role there was to promote a fair marketplace. This is to ensure that there is compliance with the CPA as well as influencing reforms within business practices that are inconsistent therewith. So what we do is in this outcome is we conduct an investigation, and then if especially investigations we conduct based on the complaints that we received or complaints that would be referred to us by either other regulators and so forth, and maybe from time to time if the minister was to instruct us to do that, then we'll conduct an investigation. And then if there is prohibited conduct, then we take further enforcement actions against non-compliant suppliers. And in that case, then we'll either then have a conclusion either to refer or either to have a consent agreement. And then the last outcome, which is outcome three, is to promote the supply of safe goods to consumers. This will ensure that we ensure that consumers receive goods that are safe. And then the main function here is to monitor product recalls and ensure that unsafe products are removed from the market, alert the consumers, and if there's a need that we see that there is further investigation that is required, we'll also conduct an investigation against the conduct of that supplier. So we can go to the next slide. This other highlights for the annual report for the 2021-22 financial year. As we said, that our role is to ensure that consumers receive goods that are safe for their health and for their environment. And what we did last in the previous financial year, we received 85 product recalls that we had to administer. 55 of those were motor vehicle related, 14 were foodstuff, 10 were medical devices, 3 were related to kids' toys and devices, 2 were clothing and accessories, and 1 was household device. The percentage as depicted is that for the motor vehicles, it was 64%, and then for foodstuff, it's 16%, and then for medical devices, it's 17%, toys for kids, it's 3%, and then clothing and accessories is 2.35%, and then your household devices is 1%. But as we said, just emphasizing that the areas that worries us the most are those fast-moving goods and where in the recipient or the users or the end users are normally or vulnerable. And then the area that really was worrisome in the previous financial year, it was the recall of the Similac baby formula, as the because there was a presence of salmonella in it. And then that prompted us to actually engage media, engage the supplier as quick as possible, use whatever means that we have, your TV, your community radio stations and all that, to ensure that the communities are alerted and the products are recalled. And then the McCain frozen beans as well. This was the presence of class. And the issue that this was also taken up is that one, if the product was frozen, the value chain was broken in terms of either the storage, and then water, the ice will actually look like glass, or maybe the glass will look like ice. Then that made us to actually go out and alert consumers as quick as possible so that we would actually mitigate the harm that will result from the that consumption. And the third area was the apple juice that contained elevated levels of the mycotoxic, the patulin, which really also was a big recall that requested us to have a lot of interaction with the media, and because it's also a fast moving good, and also because it was vastly distributed as well. Thank you, we can go to the next slide. The enforcement action, as we said, that one of our outcomes is to investigate and then take further enforcement actions. We had, from the matters that we had investigated, 166 is where in there was really prohibited conduct. And then we, in that, what we did is that we would either refer the matters to the tribunal, or we will enter into a consent agreement with the supplier if they agree. What happened in the previous financial year is that from all the matters wherein there was prohibited conduct, there was redress directly to the consumers to the tune of five million, and then administrative fine that were levied by the tribunal against the offending suppliers, it was 350,000. But then also the other area that kept us busy in terms of enforcement and investigation, it was around the issue of the schemes, the your pyramid schemes and your work schemes. We work closely with the South African Police Services, the National Prosecution Authority, and other law enforcement agencies in investigating some of the schemes. And the orders that we are looking at here, I'll just make my screen smaller here. I don't see the figures. We ended up with the tune of 9.3 million as a preservation order. But then on this area is that most of the preservation order here was to see, it's actually to make sure that if the matter goes further, then we have to recoup or to distribute some of the funds wherein we realize that consumers were really scammed, is that we could preserve the funds. And on the last area that really also kept us busy, it's around the ports of entry that deals with your clothing, textile, footwear, and leather goods. And in this case, we will get consignments that are detained by SARS will get a notification, a notice of detention, and then in that, because those goods will be held because they are non-compliant with the CPA, is that we will go to the ports of entry, go and inspect, and then if the goods are found non-compliant, then we will either issue a compliance notice. But then the goods that we had to inspect, that really we had to issue non-compliance notices for them, they were to the tune of the declared value. It's not actually the value that we can say is the real value in monetary terms, but it's the declared value at SARS to the tune of 21 million. And those goods were either, when we issue the compliance notices, it's either they will be destroyed or they will be returned to the country of origin. This actually was to ensure that we really mitigate the issue of proliferation of non-compliance goods, and then just to also ensure that in the values, down the values chain, because if we have this non-compliant goods that are either cheaper and non-compliant, and then they tend to be misleading, but all in all is that they compromise our industry in terms of our jobs and in terms of our markets as well. The next slide. The media engagements. In terms of engaging with the media, as we said, that when we have product recalls, or maybe when we have to share our opinions on either decided cases with the public and all that, we'll use media. So we really enjoyed a positive media coverage. We have tried, we are improving in our strides in reaching consumers and providing information. And this we do through mostly through community radio stations and online platforms. The engagement in the previous financial year resulted in 195 radio interviews, national, regional, and community stations. We had 28 TV interviews, and then we had 156 online news clips, and then print media, it was 78, and then sound bites. So this is when we have a story, and then we have to tell, and then we record it, and we send it to your community radio stations and other radio stations as well to have our reach as much as possible. We had 254 of those. And the topics really that were covered broadly in the media, as we said, it was around leafy fruit and the SARS apple juice recall, and then the investigation into Elgin, and then also the matter of Grandesink. And we also had the NCT judgment around Cape Town boats, wherein this was the use of the intermediary, which was the first of its kind in terms of some of the matters that we referred to the tribunal. And then we had the Coca-Cola recall of April Tizer, and then we had Similac, and then we had McCain, and then also it was also around the coverage of the World Consumer Rights Day that was held this year in KZN. The next slide. This would be the key achievements, as we said, that we met 100% of all our targets. So we can proceed. Next slide. Here, in terms of the areas of our targets in terms of performance, as we said, that we had achieved most of all our targets in this case. And then we tried in terms of our, especially when we are looking at areas that we had really exceeded the target, it was around outcome number three of consumer awareness. This was in the use of partnerships and technology, and then also around the issue of the explanatory notes as well, wherein consumers would either ask us questions and or suppliers in relation to the provisions of the CPA, and then all those were explanatory notes that we issued, either direct notes to people that would ask, and to those people that would have asked, 369 that we had issued last year. We can go to the next slide. And on outcome number two on the fair marketplace. Also in this case, we conducted 412 investigation, hence the 166 matters that we had taken for further enforcement. So from the 412 matters, where in its 94% of those matters that were approved for investigation, and then out of that 166 of those were referred for further enforcement action. And that is also met. And in terms of also the supply of goods, which is outcome number three, is that we have produced of all the 85 product recalls, we have produced 4 quarterly reports. So we can go to the next slide. I think in this one, it was around the joint indicators that are actually shared by the DTIC. You can go to the next slide, wherein we all, as the entities of the DTI, will contribute. As said and also explained, is that all of us will contribute to these outcomes. So they were introduced in the beginning of 2021, and then it was to increase the level of coordination and alignment of efforts in the different programs. And then we were required to report on our activities that contributed to the joint key performance indicators. You can go to the next slide, ma'am. And in this area is that on the first quarter, in all of them, as indicated from number 1 to number 7, is that we produced 3 quarterly reports, because in the first quarter, we were still trying to find out, I think all of us, some explanation from the DTIC as to what was expected of all of us here. And then I think they were explained as the year was progressing in the first quarter, and then from quarter 2, we started reporting in terms of the off efforts that were contributing towards those joint indicators. So I will leave it in there. You can go to the next screen as well, to the next page. And the same here as well, as we said, all 7 of them. You can also go to the next one. Ms. Mushidi, the next one, 6 and 7. The same as well here is that it was, we've done the 3 quarterly reports as expected after we have received the explanation in relation to the output and what was expected. So you can go to the next slide. I think this is where in now we will be starting our audited financial statements. Chairperson, if you would allow me on this area, what I will do is I will request that the CFO will start with the first area, with the first next screen. CFO, if you can maybe start with the next screen, wherein you will explain in granular details, and I will come in wherein I am required. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mushidi. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama Buza, and thank you, Chair. Good morning once more, colleagues. In front of us now is a statement of financial position for NCC as at the 31st of March 2022. And the bottom line shows that NCC has a total net asset of 29.4 million, and when you look at the current asset, we close the books with a balance of 16.2 million in it. We had the main contribution was the cash and cash equivalents of 13 million, followed by prepayments of 1.5 million, of which the prepayment is mainly linked to the opt-out registry software or in some of the ICT infrastructure, whereby when you buy this equipment, they come as a package of the prepayment. And we also have receivables for non-exchange transaction of 1.3 million. And this item is mainly contributed by the services in kind between SABS and NCC. So as of the 31st of March, we had a balance of deferred services of 1.3 million, then a minor contribution to the current asset is 32,000 rands. And looking at the non-current asset, we've got property, plant and equipment of 11.4 million. And when you look at the current previous financial year, there has been a slight movement there. But when you look at the intangible asset, you see that the movement on PPE and the intangible asset is correlated, because it was mainly because of the acquisition of the similar asset, whereby when you buy it, it comes with the software issue. And the prepayments of 1.6 million, which is also the portion of the software that is on the longer period. The first one on the current asset, the portion of the prepayment is for the recent 12 months, but the 1.6 million is of the period beyond 12 months. So the total asset was 33.4 million, while the total liabilities or total debt is 3.9 million. So by just looking at this, you can see that NCC is very much solvent. It has passed what we call the going concern, because if the total asset exceeds the total liabilities, in essence, the organization is being viewed as having the ability to continue in the foreseeable future. And even the line item on cash and cash equivalents confirmed this status, that it has enough cash to take care of its operations, even though when you compare it to prior year, whereby we closed the books with 27.14 million compared to the 13 million, there is a decline of 52%. It's just that the cash for previous financial year has been utilized to conclude what was the work in progress in the prior year has now been completed and has been transferred to the asset portion. Looking at the statement of financial performance, which is in the previous term, it was called the income statement, we realized that we closed the books with a total deficit of 82,000 rands. However, looking at the total, the individual line items, we managed to earn a interest of 1 million from the surpluses funds that we had during the financial year in the bank. So they earned that 1 million for us. But the total grant that was received was 58.5 million. Adding to it, the services in kind that was paid to South African of Bureau of Standard is 10.4 million. So the total revenue for the year was 17 million rands. Then looking at the expenditure, there are only two classification, economic classification under expenditure or NCC, which is a compensation of employees and goods and services. So the line item for employee related costs actually covers that one for compensation of employees, and other line items falls under goods and services. And the employee related costs took the bulk part of the budget with 45 million rands against the actual of 70 million. And it was followed by general expenses with 23.3 million. And then the other one is depreciation and amortization, which is more like an accounting principle or accounting, accounting records, other than the actual expenditure with 981, because we do have to record the rate at which the assets are being depreciated and how the intangible assets are being amortized as well. Then, moving to the next slide, we'll realize that I think I covered everything else. The comments on the next slide actually covered what I just presented. I think what I'd like to bring to the attention on this slide is that the compensation of employees amount to 77.7% of the allocated grant. And even though the net deficit at the end of the financial year was 82,000 rands, it's because it included the non-cash items such as depreciation and amortization, which are more like the accounting method to account for assets that are directly linked to the asset. The next slide shows cash flow statement, whereby we opened the financial year with a balance of 27.4 million, but we closed with a balance of 13.1 million. And the movements are shown here that the payments were done to employees and others to the suppliers. And the projects were that the multi-year projects that were actually budgeted in the previous financial year, where the cash flow that we see of 27 million included them, were concluded in the current financial year, and 12.5 million of that was paid towards the completion of those projects. And yeah, that's all from the cash flow statement. Then the other line item that maybe will attract attention is on the cash flow from the operating expenditure, where there is a balance, a negative balance of 1.7 million. NCC for a while has been depending or running with the retained surpluses from the previous financial year. However, because of the budget cuts that were done recently in the due to the COVID, we find ourselves with a reduced baseline in terms of the grant that we received from the government. And then now that the retained surpluses that we've been keeping from previous financial year have been utilized on the projects that have been finalized, we might find ourselves there with a challenge of some net balances on the operations. I hope in the next financial year, when the National Treasury and the DTIC allocate some grant, the baseline will be relooked at so that the normal business can return. Otherwise, the remaining of 13.1 million for this current financial year of 2022/2023 will be sufficient. But looking into the future, we might find ourselves with a challenge there. But as at the end of the financial year, because there are some of the projects that were not concluded, the organization had some contractual obligation. We had 10.7 million that was still in our bank, of which the surrender to National Treasury has been done. But we also applied for the retention of those surpluses with a supporting document showing those contracts or those projects that are overlapping in the new financial year, of which, as of today, that application has been approved by the National Treasury. And in the 10.7 million of the surplus include also the 1.5 million that was on the previous slide on the financial position under receivables from non-exchange transactions. Thank you. Moving to the next slide of the auditor's report, the good news is NCC obtained an unqualified audit opinion for the period for the financial year 2021/2022. So what this means is that there were no material audit findings on the pillars of the reporting structure, which are annual financial statements, the annual report where we reported on the performance objective, as well as adherence to the compliance with the legislation. So all these have been translated to the clean audit report. However, not everything was perfect. There were only two minor issues that concerned to the housekeeping that were identified and brought to our attention by the external auditors, and those housekeeping issues have been resolved. Yes, looking at the key challenges, specifically when we look at the financial and non-financial, you'll find that the inadequate funding to cover the cost of conducting the investigation is starting to be sufficient. Is starting to surface now because we do find ourselves with some of the positions that are not funded. The positions are there, approved as per the structure, but there is no enough funds to cater for that. And as well for others related to the tools of trade and the appointment of the specialized investigators for complex matters that NCC has to outsource to the external attorneys and investigators. And also we find ourselves with a challenge from the same challenge, inadequate funding to say it will be difficult to cover for the prosecution and the defending of matters that are brought against NCC, because those are the matters that are more of contingent in nature. It's difficult to budget for, as they can surface out of the operations of the NCC. Yeah, and the issue of the inadequate funding also is evident when it comes to the recruitment of the capable staff, whereby, for example, when we're recruiting for the one of the critical positions at NCC, we struggled to match the salary of the potential candidates because of the bracket at which NCC has for this specific position, and also looking at the overall staff members, whereby the cost of living adjustment was not done in the previous 3 years because of this budget cuts that affected negatively on the allocation of funds. And as a result, we find ourselves sitting with vacant positions that cannot be filled, and the staff members that are available then become overloaded because they have to look at their own roles and responsibilities, and again to accommodate those that need to be done, but there are no personnel to do such. I think this is where I will stop and hand over to my commissioner, Mama Buza. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mushidi, and thank you actually for going over and above to cover the challenges as well. So now we will move to the first quarter report for 2022-23. You can go to the next slide. Ms. Mushidi, the next slide. Thank you. As we're seeing in this quarter, we have 9 deliverables, so 9 deliverables, and then we have achieved 7 of those. You can go to the slide itself, performance. In this area, in the first outcome, which is accessible consumer protection, we have the first 2 have been achieved. And in this case as well, I will just kind of like also talk address number 2, is that in number 2, we had set ourselves a target of 9 in terms of those that are, will be in person, but then we have achieved 15. This was in because of the leverage of our stakeholders, especially around the other regulators and also the municipal offices that we went to conduct the those consumer education at, which was at Mpumalanga. So we can then go to the next slide. Here, in terms of the areas of achievement, the area that we did not achieve at is that we had 75 investigations that we had to deal with, and then we could only conclude 45 of those. But then what we had as well is that we have a cumulative number of days at which we have to conclude investigations, which is, as we said, the 90 days. So the 90 days, in essence, it would be just around 3 months, but in this case, if complaints are received and then we approve an investigation in June or around May, that would mean that it will be pushed into the next quarter. And as such, then they are still within the time frame cumulative in terms of the number of days. But when you look at the numbers, is that we normally monitor those to ensure that, as evident in the previous year's report, would normally meet the target at the end of the financial year. Because then in this case, when it's cumulative, we try as much as possible that at the end of the year, we would push our figures to ensure that we don't move as much of those matters cumulatively into the next year. And for number four, it has been achieved. We can go to the next slide. This one is on the supply of safe goods, wherein we're dealing with product recalls. This has also been achieved. We can go to the next outcome. This outcome here is the one that talks to the joint indicator, now the revised joint indicators, wherein we provide support in terms of our function in the transformation of the economy by providing guidance to comply to the CPA. This is mostly around your small businesses. In this case, we had set ourselves a target of 4. We really have conducted 4. But the reason that we said that we have not achieved it is that we wanted to ensure that we go to specific targets so that we don't overservice certain provinces over the other, because it's easier to reach them. Our target for quarter one was to go to Gauteng, the Western Cape, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. What we did is that we could not go to the Western Cape, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. The reason is that when we plan, as we said, that sometimes we have stakeholders that we would conduct some of the investigations with. And then is that if they will be like an anchor partner, and then we come in as a support to them, and then to do the other part, if maybe they have challenges, then that would mean that we have to go back and reset that. But then we also had a challenge of securing flights in the first quarter, when we know about Comair as well, is that when those flights were grounded, and then we had booked, we could not go to those areas, as most of them, is because we're saying that it's small businesses, that sometimes we have to go there and have in-person sessions, we could not go. But then, so that, because we also have planned in the other months to go to certain provinces, instead of now saying we could not go there, we went to Northwest, wherein we could deliver some of the projects. So we had 2 sessions in Gauteng and 2 sessions in the Northwest. So there are still 4, but then it's not achieved because it's not in line with our plan in terms of the provinces. And then the second area, which is explanatory notes here, is that this one we had achieved. We had shifted the targets in terms of reporting on what people would request of us as advice. Now we have elevated the explanatory notes to be those notes that will be cross-cutting in terms of businesses. We still do the other advisories to consumers that would actually send their queries, but then this one is the ones that normally would go onto our website. So you can go to the next slide. On the number of the finalized investigations, this is also an area that is a joint indicator, wherein you support our responsibility as the NCC is to support industrialization by combating illegal imports related to the clothing, the textile, footwear, and leather goods. In this case, we would have investigations that are for the detained goods, as we had said earlier on, but then only for the detained goods where in SARS will give us a detention notice. We had 59 of those in the previous quarter. We conducted, we completed 49, which is above our target of 80%, and as we said, also in terms of the number of days, because we do not want, in this case, while goods are detained, they will also, the importer will incur costs. We try as much as possible to move as quick as possible so that the turnaround time is also shorter to conclude the investigation. So we had concluded those within 10 days. And then of those 49 that we had investigated, is that we had to take enforcement action against 18 of those. And then that enforcement action was finalized. And then in that enforcement action is where it would either issue a compliance notice or the person will voluntarily say, I would return them to the country of origin. So that is our performance for quarter one. We can then go to the next slide. I think this will be for the financial information as well. CFO, you can also take over in terms of the financial information as well to the next slide. And then I'll take over on the clean audit.
Ms. Mashidi.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As at the 30th of June 2022, the statement of financial position for NCC was at this manner, whereby the total net assets increased to 51 million compared to what we closed the period with, and mainly because of the cash and cash equivalents, because during the first quarter, the first tranche of the state grant, of the government grant, was received. Hence, the cash and cash equivalent reported 35.4 million. And otherwise, other things haven't really changed much, except for the prepayment, because the prepayments we expense on a monthly basis. So yes, there is a movement of from 1.5 to 1.9 due to the licenses for those 3 months of the first quarter. Then property, plant and equipment, there have been some depreciation there. And yes, the prepayment on the non-current assets reduced because the certain portion moved to then the current assets. And then looking at the current liability, there hasn't really been much compared to previous financial year, the closure of previous financial year. Hence, the main contributor was coming from the cash and cash equivalent. However, NCC is still solvent and is still running as a going concern, because the total assets exceed the total liabilities. Then looking at the statement of financial position, we realize that the total revenue from exchange transaction was only 364, because it's interest from the bank. So it was still the early days of the financial year. Hopefully it will pick up and be in par with the previous financial year or even more, because there have been some changes in the interest from the South African Reserve Bank. And then looking at the transfers of revenue, that is the amount of tranches that we received as of the 30th of June. And the line item for services in kind is normally accounted for at the end of the financial year. So normally during the year, there will not be any movements. and then the looking at the economic classification compensation of employees, 10 or 11 million was paid towards employees, whereas the depreciation of asset amounted to 445,000 rands, and general expenses amounted to 2.3 million rands. So we closed the quarter on a surplus base compared to how we closed it in the previous financial year. So the portion that we received is only 60% of the allocated budget. The other one was expected in October, of which where we are standing now, it has been received. And I spoke about the interest. Yes, so the main contribution to the total expenditure remain compensation of employees. And looking at the cash flow statement, at least now the net cash flow from operating expenditure shows a positive balance. So mainly because of the grant, as it's still the early days of the year. As that amount is being expensed, we hope that we will close it on a surplus base. Yes, we haven't purchased anything of capital nature. As at the end of quarter one, it was still early. Then moving to the next slide. It's repeating what I've already mentioned. That's all from me for now. I'll leave it to the commissioner to take it over with a clean audit plan. Thank you very much, members of the parliament.
Thank you. We can go to the next slide. We really strive now to ensure that we maintain our clean our unqualified audit opinion in such a way that we have a clean audit strategy in ensuring that at least our financial statement at the end of the financial year will be free from any material misstatement, and then that there will be no findings against the performance reports. And this is also to ensure that also we comply with key legislation. So the areas that we looked at, it was to look at our HR compliance list, just to make sure that it is updated in relation to our contracts, and also the leave reconciliations, and also on our inductions to make sure that our staff understands the policies, and also especially the critical policies like your cybersecurity policies and all that. So those was to ensure that at least in HR that there is that continuous training. And in finance and supply chain, our area was to enhance our finance record management system so that it's easier for us to retrieve records, keep them safe, and also to deal with the issues of the, especially when we're looking at the update on the compliance checklist as well. It was to look at the segregation of powers to make sure that they are done, and wherein we use software to ensure that we have separate powers and clear logs to ensure that if there's something that's being done which is digitized, then there is a clear audit trail of who did what and when. So you can go to the next slide. The other area as well of our focus for us that actually was also raised the issue of the housekeeping issue. It was around the performance and information wherein we did really have a slip up in terms of reconciliating some of our one or two of our areas. In for one unit, and then what we had done to circumvent that was that we do monthly checks and quarterly checks to ensure that we reconcile per division, so that when we pass a quarter, we ensure that everything of the previous quarter has been accounted for appropriately with portfolio of evidence. And then also the under information communication and technology, here is actually just maintaining the issue of our ICT security, the issues of the checklist of the physical environment controls in our server room, and then also making sure that our policies are adhered to, and then that there is also regular training, because the serious threat here when it comes to ICT, it's the user behavior that we really keep on dealing with. And on the area of governance and risk management, here we wanted to ensure that also that while the auditors were there, that we look at our compliance management framework to ensure that it's being reviewed, it's up to date, and then we monitor its effectiveness in terms of what the auditors are doing, and also to check that we are dealing with findings that are being raised, that are being raised by also internal auditors, so that we can circumvent having some findings by the external auditors. And then we also monitor the implementation of our business continuity management within the NCC, just to make sure that if a disaster strikes, that actually here, especially what we had experienced the previous year, wherein we lost some of the information in our servers here. So that, because here it was the issue of now, after we have commissioned our ICT infrastructure in the previous quarter, it was in commission, then we had a problem with the issues of the backup. So that was still being implemented in quarter one. But as we speak right now, our backup systems are in place, and then also offsite backup as well, it's in place. So we can go to the next slide. I think this is where in we will end in terms of our presentation, and I thank you, Chair, and I would hand over to you for any questions in terms of the follow-ups. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Acting Commissioner. We'll now open the floor to members to ask questions, make comments. Members, by show of hands. Members, you have nothing to ask of the Commission. Honourable Mbuyane.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me first welcome the presentation. It's a good presentation indeed. Chair, another issue is the issue of the education program and our awareness program. I think we propose that we have an education program that is linked to constituency offices that we are able to engage with the masses of deep rural areas to understand the role and the importance of the NCC. Because we have our spaza shop in our rural areas, which are managed somewhere by outsiders, not from South Africa. Some of them are not registered. They are selling food which are not healthy. So hence, that is why I'm saying we need to have a clear program with timelines and targets to say in our rural areas, how are we going to assist our people that are consuming unhealthy food on a daily basis in terms of that. The other one is the issue of total liabilities, exceeded by total expenditure. So I just want to check in terms of clarification, how is that going to be held? Which one? I think I will pause there for now. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson. Thank you.
I don't know whether the the Consumer Commission got all your questions. This, your line is very bad, but you'll see when they respond. I didn't catch everything myself. Any other members have a comment to make? Members? I think while we are waiting for members to interact with your presentation, I think if we could just get an indication on slide 31, you speak about housekeeping issues that was resolved. Which are those two housekeeping issues that you are that you resolved, so that we have an idea of what is happening, even if you have fixed it. I'd appreciate that. Then I think if we can ask DTIC how far they were the process of appointing a commissioner, so that we make sure that the governance of our entities are as it should be. Members, is there nobody else who wants to make any comment? Over to you, Acting Commissioner Mabuza.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the question that was raised by Honorable Mbuyane around the issue of the education programs, linking them to the constituency. I think this is really very vital. We had also picked up when we were doing the when we were trying to resuscitate or to establish consumer protection groups, which we call the advocacy groups in terms of the provisions of the CPA, because we realized that in our communities, except what we as government from the regulator side, what we do is that we do not get complaints or champions from the communities that will be assisting our communities in relation to, I think, what Honorable Mbuyane has raised around the issues of your informal sellers, like your spaza shops and all that, in dealing or in educating consumers what they can do, or if maybe they have complaints, how to raise them. What we did when we went to the Northern Cape, we realized that we do not have consumer protection groups or any other non-governmental entities that were registered either to take up consumer issues. When we went to DR, when the team went to DR with the Northern Cape, then we started speaking to the municipal offices so that we can see if maybe we can start now galvanizing the ward councillors as the people that are closer to the community now to take up that role wherein we will educate or work with them on the provisions of the CPA and what is expected and what are the violations, so that then they can bring issues to the community or we can work through them in guiding communities. But then as well in the previous month as well in the Eastern Cape, we were also invited by the traditional leaders to start working with them, working through their offices as well in educating our own people through their offices. But then we have started and now establishing these advocacy groups. We went to KZN, and I think in the next quarter, we will be going back to the Eastern Cape again at Umtata, just to see what other issues that are there. But the model wherein there are no traditional leaders of utilizing ward councillors, we think that it will work better. But if we have the education program linked to the constituencies, that we can also do, because reaching consumers, no information, it's more than enough. So we need to keep on educating consumers. We will welcome that. And if we have those constituencies, we'll definitely have to come up with a program and see what we can do under our program of consumer protection groups. And around the issue of the housekeeping issues, Chair, that you had raised, this was in relation to the accounting for some of the consumer intervention programs, when we counted the reports, is that we had missed, they had included some of the reports, they had gone to one area, but then in the province, they saw two different stakeholders at the same time. And then they included both reports. I think the other one was your small businesses and the other one was students, but they included it into one report. So the counting thereof was not correct. So it's wherein we had one shot when we did the audit. So those were the housekeeping issues. We had, I think it came from the last quarter and quarter four wherein we picked up that counting error. So to circumvent that, it was around your, we had the counting error in consumer education and also in business education. And this was from one of our divisions. And then we had came up with an SOP to do that. And then also in terms of our audit, clean audit plan, this is around the issue of performing monthly quarterly checks to ensure credible performance reporting and then reconciliating that at the end of the quarter. So I will just pause there. I heard as if Honorable Mbuyane was asking about the issues of the liabilities versus the assets. I am not certain if the CFO heard that well, but if there is a need that he can repeat it, we can either waffle around that, or we can just request through you, Chair, that maybe if he can repeat that last question of the liabilities and the assets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's just take Honorable Malamacha first, and then we'll go back to Honorable Mbuyane. Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you so much, Chair. Just pardon me, the in and out is because of the load shedding, man. This thing just freeze, and it's really disadvantageous to participate. Let me take this opportunity to greet everybody on the platform. And further say, Chairperson, through you, that one is very impressed by the performance of the NCC and their targets. I think one need to further give advice to say many of their targets must be provincial-based. It means instead of saying we've got four, we did three, we didn't do one. But if it was to say provincial-based, we've got nine, we managed to do eight, that alone, it will be telling you that they've managed to visit eight provinces, taking into account the population of South Africa. That also, when you present, it says a lot that the institute is basing their work countrywide, and that will all be, with this performance, will also assist a lot. The other stakeholders, which I don't hear them mentioning, is the issue of the PCOs, which I think is a ready-made institute that has got a lot of stakeholders. So for whatever awareness, I think it can contribute more positively that it can also do the following, that after there was an educational awareness, people, they can also go and see this on the ground and be able to give feedback through the PCO, so that at the end of the day, the NCC is able to get the feedback and be able to attend where there's a need. Bearing in mind that I understand very well that is are not the only ones involved, there are also the regulators. My understanding will be that when they go to do educational awareness, they won't be alone, so that it be known exactly that they have facilitated the necessary players so that when they leave that particular area, the community is safe from all sorts of anything that can be caused by the either by your saw what happened, Listerias, you name all these things that can happen, including the institutes that are giving loans vis-a-vis giving without considering the affordability. All these things, if they be done in a way that there's a feedback, because educating awareness and workshop, normally they don't necessarily achieve the objective of education because it's a once-off. Now, if that can be done that way, Comrade Chairperson, I think it can also assist. But all in all, Comrade Chair, one is impressed with their performance and one is happy. Therefore, to be going deeper into questions. They've attempted the other question which Comrade Mbuyane want to applaud him for. They've asked the issue of the rural areas, including the involvement of the Mahosi, the Khosi. Those are the traditional leaders. I think one is happy on that, Comrade Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mbuyane, and then Honorable McPherson. Honorable Mbuyane, can you just reiterate your second question?
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I don't know whether I'm audible enough. Because,
yes, you are. Just stay where you are, yes.
Okay. Yeah, Chair, I wanted to check because they're saying the total assets exceeds the total liability. So I just want to check what is the 10.4 meter that they are talking about here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable McPherson.
Thanks so much. I just want to ask, we saw the NCC on the 8th of March, and the 8th of March they raised the point that you cannot actually lodge a complaint online. The NCC said that they would fix it. It's the 23rd of November, and you still cannot lodge a complaint online. I don't know how you are the National Consumer Commission dealing with consumers, and consumers cannot lodge a complaint online. It seems that they actually don't want complaints. And I think that really we must resolve that it must be fixed, that there must be a way to make complaints or lodge complaints online. If you want to go and make a complaint, you have to download a form, print it, fill it out, scan it, and then email it to the NCC. It's almost like they're deliberately making it difficult to make complaints. So I would just like some direction from you, Chair, on how we ensure that that happens, because they said they were going to fix it, and it's not been fixed. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable McPherson. Back to you. I think we will, let's start with the CFO on Honorable Mbuyane's question about assets and liabilities, and then we'll go to the commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Can I maybe take you to slide number 24? So when you look at this line item for total assets is 33.4 million and the total liabilities is only 3.9 million. So the net asset is 29 million. 33 exceed 3 million. That's number one. And number two, I think Comrade asked about the 10 million for the 10.4 million of services in kind. So the line item for services in kind is mainly derived from the contract that NCC has with SABS, and services that NCC receive from SABS include accommodation. So we are renting there on their building where we sit, where we put our colleagues is SABS building, and the security at the gate is SABS, cleaning of the properties also SABS, including also some hosting of cables that goes to ICT and telecommunication. Our telephone lines run on the DTI that is under the name of SABS. So the number 7000 is actually on the DTI line of SABS, where NCC was only allocated 150 landlines within that range, and also we do pay the way also sanitizers as well as there are quite employee wellness program. It includes quite few of the line items. In short, that's what in the 10.4 million. So probably Comrade also wanted to understand how is it linked to the previous slide of 1.3 million that I linked them. So the 10.4 million was paid directly from DTIC to SABS on our behalf. However, NCC didn't derive value for all the amount. Hence, we've got the receivable, which I mentioned was the deferred services from SABS. So out of the 10.4 million, we only received close to 900,000 value of the services. The balance has then been recorded as the receivables. It's more like SABS is owing us money, but in actual times is a deferred services that will be offered to us in the future after the 31st of March 2022. Thank you. I hope I managed to answer the question very well.
Thank you very much, CFO. Commissioner?
Thank you, and thanks for the reminder by Honorable McPherson. Yes, we promised, Chair, that we will digitize our complaints handling process. As we said, that our back-end infrastructure came in full force with the maintenance in the beginning of the first quarter. We really underestimated the work that would come to us in digitizing some of the work of the NCC. And in the process, we only have three positions of ICT in our team. As the CFO has said, we have struggled. Our ICT manager resigned in end of March. And we thought that we will be able to fill the positions as quick as possible while we were putting the ICT back-end infrastructure, while we were completing that project. But then we only managed to get an ICT manager to fill that position in the beginning of October. That's where in the new incumbent started. We also, in trying to make sure that we digitize some of the processes, is that we also, as a backlog of that, we have the system for the opt-out registry that also will be doing the very same process of digitizing our complaint forms. So we are integrating our systems, the opt-out registry system, that it's still at the pilot phase. So we could not actually finalize the digitization process while we are still now integrating the other systems. And I am sure that, yes, Parliament can hold us into account. We will try as much as possible. We are moving that. I know that it seems a little bit slow, but we will try and make sure that we are done with the digitization, either at least by the beginning of April or latest by the beginning of May, because we are still integrating our platforms as our ICT back-end infrastructure was commissioned in the first quarter, and then it's then that now we are migrating and digitizing some of our systems. And the complaint form will come into that, because it also has to be carried on our case management system. And that is part also of the opt-out registry system that has to be integrated into that. And I really, I know that we promised that we will do that in this quarter, but we really could not, given our resources. And we are looking into, just because the digitization also will come in with added ICT security, and we are looking in some form of a way of also getting in additional staff that will be assisting us as either programmers as well and systems analysts so that they can maintain that process. That is something that we are busy with as a pilot, and we intend to get to those system analysts somewhere in the beginning of January, so that we can start with the entire process, because we don't even have the money right now in terms of goods and services to really get a company to do that. So that takes a little bit of time as well. And I apologize, but then it's something that is in our radar. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And the comments by Honorable Malamacha around outreach, I think he was speaking about using PCOs. Do you have a comment to make?
Can I maybe, before I confuse myself, what are PCOs?
It's Parliamentary Constituency Offices. That's found all over the country.
All right, thank you. Chair and Honorable Malamacha, I think this is a very good, a very good comment and input and advice, and I think it links well with what Honorable Mbuyane has said in relation to using the parliamentary constituency program as well, fitting in into that. It's something that we will look into, and really it's well taken up. We will do something about it, and I'm sure that when we come back and report, we'll come back with clear deliverables on what we had done, because in looking at the models that we had in the Northern Cape, when we were speaking to them the previous month, in using the word councillors, we think we need something that is sustainable, that is also scalable, just wherein there is already established frameworks of actually communicating with the communities. We will definitely do that.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Can I ask Ms. Matumela on the issue of appointing the commissioner.
Thank you, Chair.
Any comment?
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I am aware that the position of the commissioner has been vacant for some time, but I can assure the portfolio committee this morning that the matter is indeed receiving attention in the department. And we will, in due course, be able to advise on how we are going to deal with the matter. But it is receiving attention. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think we must get a written response maybe to that one, just so that we have an idea of how far we are with appointing a permanent commissioner. I think, Honorable Malamacha, that is a legacy hand. Or do you have a follow-up question?
It's a legacy, Chair. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's fine. So thank you very much to the team of the National Consumer Commission for this report. And thank you very much for the good work that you are doing. Let's see how we can improve our footprint in terms of community education and outreach. I think that was the call that came from the committee members today, and even Honorable McPherson's request for the matter regarding online complaints to be resolved. It's also about broadening your footprint in the country. So let's hope that we'll get a good report in terms of that going forward. Thank you very much, Ms. Matumela and the team, for coming to us today. Thank you very much. In terms of our agenda, we will have a short break of 10 minutes and then resume our meeting at 22:11. Thank you, members. We'll have a short body break.